For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, what the hell has Jordan Morris done in the past 12 months?
Who?
Jordan Morris, what has he done in the past 12 months? Is this my call? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Crack Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we back. What's going on? My name is Mauricio Mookie Wilson. I'm one of the co-hosts on the Crack Podcast, along with my two special guests every week. So proud to be with you. Let's give it up for the Glow Oguchi Onyewu.
Ah, shit.
Over here, always on the dark. Let's give it up for DeMarcus Beasley.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask you that shit. I was gonna say I'm a little dark, ain't I? My lighting is
no goose trash. Makers all look dark. His glow is sunshine.
Hello, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here. Finally, the World Cup is upon us, guys. How excited you are that we're days away from the kickoff, man.
I'm excited.
Not excited as Goose, obviously.
It looked like Goose got some shit to get off his chest. That's what it looked like.
I'm trying to get off my chest. I'm waiting for you to respond first.
Man, I'm hyped. I mean, it's World Cup time, man. I'm hyped. It's you know what I'm saying? This is what we all dream about, and now we get to experience it as fans. I do get to experience that as a fan. So get a little bit of behind the scenes of what the World Cup is about, the different view. So I'm hyped.
Well, listen, I believe all nations have announced their World Cup 26 roster.
Not all.
Probably almost. Like 50,
media, yeah, tell most. Them, media bees. Tell us, man.
Yeah, not all. But listen, most of them, yeah.
Today we wanted to obviously discuss the U.S. national team. One thing, you know, we see a lot of people talking about it, but we're blessed enough to be on a platform and here today to speak to players that played and combined in 6 World Cups. 4 for Bees, 2 with Oguchi Onyewu. There's nobody better to talk about what to expect. How do you feel about the team? And what does it feel to be prepare and to play in the World Cup, man. So this is a special segment, special episode. Make sure you like, share, and make sure you review. But fellas, 26 roster came out. Greg Berhalter announced. Interesting, to say the least. Has a lot of buzz going on. People are uproar, upset. Some people are happy. Starting with you, Gooch. When you first heard the roster, how did you feel?
I mean, like you said, there was a lot of surprises. I think everybody expected Zach Steffen to be there. When you didn't see his name in the three goalkeepers that were listed, it was a shock to people. But I'm sure there's a reason or a rhyme somewhere for that. There was surprises. You know, Tim Ream, you haven't heard him, seen him. All of a sudden, you know, he's made his return to the national team. He's had a strong season with Fulham. So, you know, merit to him to work his way back in at 35 years old.
USA. This show is sponsored by Bet Online, number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. The World Cup is here, and we are all excited. You'll find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, Bet Online features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether it's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BLEAV to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts. USA. USA. I'm getting hyped. Sorry, Goose. I'm getting hyped, man. I'm feeling like.
Breeze, now you take over.
No. You know what? Since you so hyped, give us your reaction to the World Cup roster.
My reaction is, Bees, what did you feel when you first saw the roster?
Yeah, first off, I want to say congratulations to everybody that made the trip. It's it's truly a blessing to represent, you know, your country at the highest level. I don't think, you know, I know people understand what that means, but to be one of the 26 players to represent your country at the highest level of our sport is truly, it's remarkable. It's amazing. It's a special feeling for that person and their families. So I want to give a big shout out and congratulations to all 26 players. You guys deserved it. Doesn't matter what any journalist, media person says, you are one of the 26 best players to represent our country going forward. So I just want to say congratulations to you guys all. And just another one.
And media trained.
And yeah. and real talk though, you know, and I even wrote it in my column. You know, yeah. Oh shit, here we go. real talk.
MLSsoccer.com, just to be exact.
Yo, real talk though, just wanted to, you know, just keep your heads up to the guys that didn't make it, the ones that were really pushing to get on that 26 man roster. You know, it's a grind. This is not the end for y'all. This is not the beginning or the end. Just as, you know, just keep it moving.
Can we get your opinion about this damn roster, man?
Chill. He is media trained. Just saying, you relax.
You know what I'm saying? I was in those rooms when people got, you know, was disappointed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was in, though, it wasn't like a call like it was, you know, 2 days ago. You know, I'm just going by what it seems like. Greg just called him on the phone or FaceTime or something.
I heard they told you in camp, right, Bees?
Yeah, they told us in camp. Gucci was around there. They told us in camp right in your face, face to face.
So hold on. Can you explain?
It was different.
Yeah, it was different. Give us some context. Yes, it was different.
We had a group that went into the camp because we had obviously a month period to prepare. And within that group, they chopped off some players and skimmed it down. So those were the players that got announced, that got told literally the day of or the day before. Now,
how long was that camp? How long were you in camp for? How many people will come in? That's when they had a 23-man roster, correct?
Yeah, it would be, what, Goose, like 30 man, 35, something like that. Yeah, something like that. It'd be like 30.
That was intense, right? I mean,
yeah. You know, the people, because you know when you're on the bubble, you know, So it's either you're there for a reason that they still haven't selected the 23 players. So if you're in that bubble, that camp is important. Those two and a half weeks, you got to do something. It's training, what you do off the field, you know, how you, you know, in the locker, everything. You know, every year you're under a microscope when you're in that 30-man roster before the World Cup. But like Goose said, this was different. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have that luxury to have that pre-World Cup camp. You know what I'm saying? Like we did. So, you know what I'm saying? I feel for the boys that didn't make it. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Gooch, the first time you got that phone call or first time you was in camp and you found out that you were going to the World Cup.
What you're not going to do is skip the question because you asked Bees his opinion of the roster.
Yeah. So, that man is ready.
That's my fault. I was probably talking too much anyway. With some surprises, for sure. I think that for the most part, I think the guys that are gone, we all knew the core of the team.
When you saw the roster, what was your first thought?
My first thought was there was no Stephen. My second thought that we're taking three right backs, which we'll get into later. I was surprised about Shaq Moore, that he's gone with Yedlin and Dest. Who else? Pepe, you know, he's another one that I thought that was going to be on the plane. Haji Wright, I know he's in form, good player. I heard he's a good locker room dude as well. He was a surprise. So those are my initial first reactions when I saw the roster.
Christian Rodon?
Yeah, surprises. I didn't think that Rodon, Morris, and Haji Wright were going to be on the plane. That was my first initial reaction, and I thought Stephen was, and I thought Pepe was. So, you know, Greg has his reasons, and I know he gave a little bit of insight of why he picked those players, but those three for sure were guys that I didn't think were going to be going to Qatar.
So, gentlemen, let's start off. You mentioned Stephen. Let's start off with the goalkeepers. We have Sean Yardman Johnson. We have Matthew the Gooner Turner. And what do you guys think?
Well, we have one more.
Huh? Yeah, Ethan Horvath.
Of course. What do you guys think is the reason that Greg didn't choose not what he said, but why you guys think he didn't choose Stephon? What's your thought process? I know you heard things behind the scenes. I know you spoke to people.
Well, before you ask this, what did he say? I didn't hear his comments on Zach Stephon.
Bees, did you?
I did not. I did not hear what he said.
You know, I didn't hear what he said about the goalkeepers. Honestly, I did hear somebody saying that it could be an issue with him feeling that he should be number one, and he felt that might have been a conflict coming into camp, that he wasn't number one, and he had an issue with that. Maybe he didn't want those bad vibes, et cetera, et cetera. While the other two keepers know their place, Sean Johnson probably would be number two, and it would be a better type of chemistry and the morale with the keepers. That's what I heard, but I didn't hear that from Greg's mouth, so you know, I thought Media Bees would have definitely had word for word what Greg said, but.
No, I didn't hear what he said. I only caught the tail end of the roster announcement.
How do you guys feel about the Gooner, Matthew starting, and he's the number one clear out, no competition? Are you guys comfortable with that?
Well, he did say that Matt is, he's leaning towards Matt, and he used the word lean. I did hear that part. But we can, you know, speculate that he probably will be the number one. I think he's a very good shot stopper. You know, I know he has a little bit of a niggling injury. I know he's on the bench last weekend, this past week, midweek. So that's good for him and for the team. But yeah, I feel comfortable with Matt. He was my starting goalkeeper from a year now.
Yeah.
The way he's played, even though he hasn't, you know, gotten the starting spot at Arsenal yet, the way he's played and came into camp and the saves he's made in those last two friendlies, you can't, you know, take him out of the lineup right now.
Gooch.
Yo.
What's your thoughts on the keeper situation? Are you comfortable?
I mean, to be fair, the U.S. has always produced strong keepers. So I think, you know, adding Zach in there, taking him off, I think the three were always going to be quality goalkeepers. Sean Johnson, obviously, he won the MLS Cup last season. He had a really strong season. He worked his way into the conversation. Matt Turner, who was incredibly strong with New England Revolution, made his transfer to Arsenal. He's doing well in terms of the results when he gets his playing time in Arsenal. And in Ethan, we saw what he could do last summer in the Nations League final. Right now, he had to go on loan to Luton Town from his parent club to get playing time. So I think Zach Steffen in the last 2+ years has been that cement in the number one, which is why everybody just anticipated his name to be there without even thinking. And when it wasn't, it was a shock. Now, we're shocked to see him not there. I'm personally still confident in the three that we have. Right? I've always said that we've had world-class talent in goalkeeping, regardless of who is going to be in goal. So I have faith in Matt, Ethan, and Sean Johnson.
Well, Gooch, you said something. You made a great point about Ethan going to Luton Town to get more playing time and Zach playing at Middlesbrough, which is obviously a higher team. How do you feel about that? And how does, you know, you speak about playing time and being on form and competition and what levels you're playing. For have Ethan come in over Zach, if it's not due to chemistry, what I mentioned, I mean, that seems quite unfair, don't you think?
To have Ethan come in instead of Zach?
Well, Zach is not part of the three goalkeepers for the competition, and he plays on a higher level than Ethan.
Why does he play at a higher level? Middlesbrough?
I'll step in really quick. And it's not – I mean, that could be the reason. You know, we don't know. I know – I'm sure Greg gave a very diplomatic answer to the question.
But Luton Town is not lower.
But that doesn't matter. If you've seen – like, I've watched a bit of Middlesbrough specifically to see how he was doing. Yes, he got a couple of clean sheets. I think he had maybe like 3 or 4 clean sheets this season. But he hasn't been that strong. You know, he's made some mistakes that people kind of raise eyebrows about. And he hasn't been the Zach Steffen that was the Zach Steffen, you know, 2 years ago. So I think regardless of where they are playing, it's how you're playing.
Yeah, but to, you know, just to answer, they're in the same league. Luton Town's in the championship.
Yeah. They came up this year?
Luton Town's in the championship, and they're actually placed higher than Middlesbrough right now in the standings.
Yeah.
I realize they came up into the championship this season.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he's been playing. He hasn't been playing, you know, lights out football, even though they've gotten some clean sheets. So, you know, that's how, without, you know, hearing exactly why, you know, Greg decided not to take him, you know, his form as a goalkeeper, a starting goalkeeper, hasn't been, you know, as we've seen it in the past.
And to be fair, Middlesbrough has had a rough start. They've changed managers. They haven't had the good results as well. Like B said, Zach hasn't had lights out performances. It's been kind of up and down. There hasn't been no real consistency in his performances. And I think that in spite of that, because we all know Zach Steffen and what he's capable of, everybody wanted to look past that, right? And be like, okay, when it comes time, he can perform. But at the end of the day, what people don't realize is there's three other goalkeepers that can perform as well, right? And arguably just as well. So, you know, without harping on Zach not being there, I'm going to congratulate the three for making it there, because just like B said, once every 4 years, you're at the pinnacle of our sport. And this one in particular is going to be special. It's a winner World Cup, probably the first and only last winner World Cup ever.
Yeah, last year, straight up.
And so congratulations to them, because, you know, there's a lot of world-class players that can never say they played in the World Cup. Timothy Weah's father never played in the World Cup, right? He was one of the best players in the world. So this is a huge accomplishment for them. And I don't want to put a shadow over the three's accomplishment by speaking too much on Zach not being there.
Yeah, and then now, and I'll add before before we go on to the next group, I will say that, and Gooch, you can speak to this more than anybody on this show, is that as a defender, you want to be comfortable that you got a guy behind you that's going to make saves and keep you in the game. And just from the reaction and the games that these three have played in, and when they make big saves, the whole team goes up to him and says, and congratulates him and gives him high fives. And so that already shows me that they have confidence in those three goalkeepers right there. You know what I'm saying? That's as a defender, as a striker in my beginning of my career, you know, there are going to be times when they break through and the other team is going to have some shots and you need your keeper to come up big and make some saves. And I think with these three, the team feels comfortable with whoever's in goal that they're going to get the job done.
So you're implying that it didn't feel comfortable with
Zach. Oh, Smith. Shit. next group. Next
move on to defenders. You know, we have Cameron Carter-Vickers, obviously a Champions League Celtic player. Serginho Dest, Aaron Long, Shaq Moore. People say a surprise. Tim Ream, another person who hasn't come in to the team in over 12 months. Anthony Robinson. Joe Scally, representing Long Island, Lake Grove to be exact. Walker Zimmerman. Fellas, what'd you think of the selection of the defenders? Let's start with Gooch.
Let me start with Cameron Carter-Vickers, because I spoke on him over a year ago in terms of him needing a shot because he was performing over in Scotland. So congratulations for him for kicking that door down and forcing his way into the conversation. Definitely. It's not easy at all. So I'm happy to see him on the list. I think Serginho was no surprise. As long as he stayed healthy, he was going to make that. Tim Ream, I mean, I'm sure we're all a little surprised to hear his name because we haven't seen him in any camps. We haven't heard his name, but he's been playing really consistently and really well for Fulham this season. So, you know, it begs the question, is your form with club good enough, or your form with country? Because we haven't seen him with country for a long time. And so I think if I'm thinking of compiling a team, yeah, well, you want to put the best players on the field, but you also want the players with the best chemistry. And he hasn't had that chance to have any kind of chemistry with this team in recent time. After that, Walker Zimmerman, I don't think anybody blinked on that one. He's been playing extremely consistently for the past couple seasons, strong presence in the back line, someone that we need. He's been a leader. That's why I've heard in the camp. His personality makes the team stronger. His presence makes them more confident. DeAndre, the only one with World Cup experience on this roster, right? He's going to be a big factor in this team in terms of his experience, in terms of his talking, and I'm sure whenever he gets his opportunity on the field, he's going to take it because that's what he's all about. Anthony Robinson, I think we all knew if he's healthy, he's going to be the starting left back on the squad. So no surprises there. So as B said, Shaq Moore, the three I was kind of surprised with was Joe Scally, Shaq Moore, and Aaron Long. I think Aaron, great player, but I don't know if he's had his season that as strong as he has had in the past to force the conversation, but congratulations to him. Shaq Moore, that, you know, he snuck in there. I think people might have thought Reggie Cannon was going to be on that list instead of Shaq Moore. Maybe he played himself out of it in the last couple games.
Well, he was in the last camp, the MLS camp that he's had recently.
Yeah.
Shaq Moore was.
Yeah.
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 He was in Moore that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Joe Scally, you know, yeah, there's a couple surprises, but in every World Cup, there's one or two surprises here and there, you know, kind of aces up the sleeve that the coaches were thinking about that the public wasn't. Yeah, I think overall they're going to be strong. And I'm kind of, you know, surprised they took three right. Maybe it could be. Let me see how many. One, two, three, maybe four right backs.
Scally can play right, but I think they're looking at him as a left back probably just in case because he's played there. I mean, he hasn't played well when he played at left back. So that's just going by what he's the position that he's played in the recent camps.
Next would be him, Robinson and Serginho.
Yeah, I would have been okay with not taking a straight backup for Anthony Robinson. When you know you have Serginho. I thought that having DeAndre and Serginho was enough to warn and to cover in different positions. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but I do have a question before I, you know, give a little couple of my two cents on the defenders. So if Chris Richards was fit, do you think Tim Ream still makes his roster? Mm. Off top of your head, this was not in our pregame show.
I think if Chris Richards was fit, it'd be tough.
This to is the question. Do you think?
Tim Ream because Aaron Long is his boy, right? He's shown that he has faith in Aaron Long.
So you're saying no. Tim Ream would not have made it.
I don't think Greg Berhalter would have brought him, though.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gooch?
I agree with Mook. I think that hit with him kind of threw the cards in the air, and you're like, who am I going to pick? You know, who played themselves out of this position and who right now is playing themselves into this position? And so, yeah, I think if he was healthy, I don't think Tim would have.
You know what I can't understand is – what are we?
Can I ask? Go ahead.
What are you basing this off? Is it based off of the performance you had with the national team or the performance you're having with the club team? When I speak of Tim Ream. I love Tim Ream as a person, as a player. I liked him coming up as he came from St. Louis into the MLS. I thought I was proud of him when he went across the pond. But internationally, I've never really seen him play really well for U.S. national team, right? And you guys know the international game is a little bit different than the club game, but I praise him what he's done with Fulham. You know, he's a legend there, right? He'll go out as a Fulham legend when he goes to another team or when he retires. But as an international player for USA, I don't remember from this last his last two, three, four times that he's wore the jersey that he's performed well, and that's the reason why he was left out for so long. So I just find it very odd now to bring a person, like you said, Gooch, who's not in chemistry, which is everything in defense, right? Especially with a Winter World Cup. How important is that partnership?
Before you finish, I thought because you said he was put there because Chris Richards got injured, who else would you have brought in?
Mark McKenzie.
Well, no. Well, that's – okay, well, that's what I wanted – I was going to answer my own question. And I would have thought – and I'm thinking that he wouldn't have brought I wouldn't have brought Aaron Long. I would have brought Chris Richards and Tim Ream.
That's you.
That would have been we're talking about these are our opinions, right? Yeah. You know, the roster is set. You know, we can't change the roster is set. So we ain't changing that. This is talking about our opinions and what we think and what we would have done and what we see in our own eyes. So in my eyes, because I thought that Aaron, like Gooch, I didn't think that Aaron played his way back into the national team. I don't think he's looked the same
since his injury.
And if Chris Richards would have been fit, I still think he would have taken Tim Ream. I think it would have been between Tim Ream and Aaron Long.
So why not bring in Tim Ream from last year when he was captain of Fulham?
I don't know. That's, you know, I think he was just going with his guys, going with the youth angle. And because it could not have been about form, because Tim Ream has played his probably his best football in his life, and he's 35. Yeah, Premier League captain.
But he's been playing good with Fulham, but he has not produced the same effect with the national team when he
played. Yeah, but exactly. But then he hasn't been in a year, and he's made the team. Because and Greg has said this, because his form was Fulham. He said it cannot go unnoticed that how good he's playing with Fulham in the Premier League. That's what he said. So
I understand that, and I don't argue that he's been playing lights out with Fulham. He's been playing really well. Even Pep was remarking on how some of his play. My point is there are players that play good for club but not the same for country. Look at Seedorf. Seedorf was an unbelievable player all around club. Did he have that impact country in Holland? He did not.
I'm biased.
He didn't get those looks.
That'd be so sad.
My point is, like, yeah, he's been playing good, but Is that the deciding factor to build him into a completely different environment and say he's going to do good as well?
Yeah, but I don't think it's a – I wouldn't say a different environment because Greg is the same. I'm talking about the player. He knows the players he's going to be playing with. Yes, he hasn't played with them for a year.
He doesn't know. I'm just saying the current team is a different environment to Fulham, who he's been playing for the
past. Oh, okay, different at Fulham. Okay, yeah, my bad.
And guys, we have to talk about system, right? Obviously, the system is different. But, Gooch, how important is the chemistry and the familiarity with center backs going into a World Cup where you don't have a month to develop that?
Look, this is, like I said, this is going to be a very, very unique World Cup. There's a plethora of players that are missing this World Cup with little injuries in the last week to 2 weeks. Ridiculous. And on top of that, they don't have this buildup, this camp, friendly games, etc., to kind of knock off the dust, you know, and shake off all that silliness. So they literally go from, you know, Juventus play today. They go from this weekend to Qatar, and their first game is first match.
No, they play in 11 days. I just looked at the date. 11 days.
It's
and some of them got and some of them got play, and some of them got matches this weekend. The ones in Europe.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they fly after.
You know what I'm saying? Weekend. Yeah, they fly after this weekend.
You have training to create game chemistry. How do you replicate that?
I heard they have.
I think Greg is banking on his experience of playing that center back position. Because I don't think he would have done that with a player. Say he's playing well, he's been in and out nationally, now he was like 22. But I think he's banking on his experience that, okay, yes, I know you haven't been in a team. Like Gooch pointed out, it's not the environment that you're going to be playing with at Fulham. There is some familiarity with playing next to Anthony Robinson every week. So that there is a bit of, you know, kind of a nice fuzzy feeling. You know what I'm saying? What's up?
You think he's going to be starting?
This
is my opinion. Your opinion, do you think he's going to be fine?
I don't think he'll start the first game, no.
No chance.
I don't think he starts against Wales.
You think Tim Ream can back up Robinson at left back?
It depends on the – I mean, if you look – okay, now you got me in my media mode. I mean, it depends on the matchup. You know what I'm saying? It depends on the matchup. Would I put Tim Ream out there against England? No. You know how fast
Iran is?
What's up?
You know how fast Iran is too?
Yeah, I mean I've seen them play. They'll have more of the ball.
Statement you just made. He's not going to pay him against England. But he's been playing.
I said I wouldn't.
I know. He's been playing well in England. So
at center back, the question was left back. The question was left back.
Left back.
That's what he said. That's what he said. You're not even listening to the damn conversation.
I thought when he said cover him.
It's the glow, bees. The glow. Like a thing around
it. No, he said. So would you put him as a backup to Robinson? That was the question.
Oh hell no.
That's why I said it would depend on the matter. Yeah, England, no, I don't think so. But center back, yeah, he plays every week.
Gentlemen, I have a last question about the defenders and we move on. Does it seem to you with the players he selected that that maybe he's going to play three in the back?
Man, if they do, they've been working on behind the scenes because we ain't seen it. I would be very shocked if he played a three back system or a five or whatever you want to call it.
Especially against England. You play a flat back four against England.
I don't see it. I mean, do we have the players to play a five back? Yeah, but I don't see it.
My thought process is that he's already committed to playing five in the back against England. So he's looking at Tim Ream for experience. He's looking at obviously Zimmerman for the strength, and then it could be Long, who's playing on the right side,
or Carter Vickers of the three.
You know, and then you have Dest, and you have Robinson.
You play Long before Carter Vicker right now?
Oh well, his not me personally, but Long has been called in and has been starting every time he came into camp.
Yeah, but this is we're talking about your opinions.
My opinion. So, all right. So,
I mean, there's no point. Look, we'll rack our brains trying to figure out what Greg is going to do. This is about our opinions and what you would do or what I would do. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, if it is a five back, then yeah, I agree with Carter Vickers, Zimmerman, and Ream. If that, but I'd be very shocked if they played that way.
Well, let's go into our midfielders, man. We're looking at Brandon Aaronson. Obviously, he's one of our guys. We love him. Acosta, who just won the MLS of LAFC. Tyler Adams, who plays at Leeds, who's doing a phenomenal job this season. Weston McKennie, who's injured. I'm not sure if he was on the bench this week, but that's a close call. Even when he did the interview, he said he should be ready, but it's a close call. Musa, who's Beasley's favorite player at Valencia. Kristen Valdon, who a lot of people were shocked that he was added. And obviously we have Luca, the phenomenal left footer who plays at Celta Vigo. Fellas, what do you think about the midfielders that was called up? And how do you feel about who was left off that you think who should have been here?
Go ahead, Beasley, you're a midfielder.
I appreciate that. Everybody keep calling me a damn defender. I think the roster, I mean the group is pretty solid. The one person that I was not expecting was Rodon. I thought that Malik Tillman, with his versatility and the way he's played at Rangers, he hasn't been as consistent as you would want him to be. But he has something special. He has that kind of, that kind of, it's a bit of like a swagger that he seems like he's going in one motion, but then with a snap of a finger, he's off. You know what I'm saying? And you wish that he did that every time he got the ball, play with a bit more urgency. So I'll say this, I can understand why Greg chose Rodon, because Rodon is a guy that's going to give 1,000%. He runs all day. He's energetic. He can play football. He's a good player. Mm-hmm. He can play. He's a good player. And he's a team player. And you know exactly what you're going to get out of Rodon when you put him on the field.
You know exactly what you're going
to get. But you need that though. Yeah, but yes, standard, in that area, sometimes yes, that can be the standard. Okay. In that game, if you know that Gucci and Yebu is going to play at an 8 every single week, and that's okay to get you guys to win games. Yes, you want Gucci to play at a 10, but it doesn't happen all the time. So,
at Rodon at an 8 consistently, would you play him in any match in this World Cup?
With our group, no. No, I would not. Because we have too many talented midfielders that can do what he does and more. I think, like I said, that was the only surprise for me was Rodon. I think everyone else knew that the other players that made the midfield roster was going to make it. You can see Greg's thinking about putting Aaronson at the midfield spot because he's been playing a lot of that at Leeds and playing well, in that kind of 10, the number 10 role. Sometimes he goes out wide, but some games he's playing in the middle. So there's that flexibility with being able to play him on the wing or in the middle. I'm happy with the midfield roster. I think we have a very, very strong midfield.
Gooch.
I agree. I think Rodon was kind of the wild card in that group. At the end of the day, who do you put there? I mean, I don't think he's going to see any game time. Not in front of the people that he has on that list right now. Like you said, Aaronson, he's been playing amazing for Leeds. And I think, Mookie, you made the comment to us the other day, like, with his performances this season, this man will forever have a job in the Premiership. Kellen's been Mr. Consistent for time right now. I think I forgot what his the consecutive games he had with the national team, like something like 20, I don't know, something stupid. He had some consistent game. Tyler is the engine. He's the heartbeat. And then, you know, Luca Del Torre, he's he adds an element of technical awareness and ability as well. You know, he kind of snuck in there the last year as well. And I think his transfer to Spain helped him out. He's been a little bit injured and dealing with some injuries over there as well. So that might have a factor to play as well. Weston is coming off an injury. He wasn't featured on the bench or in the lineup for Juventus today in their win. So hopefully in the next 11 days, that'll all heal. We have to see. Yunus Musa since he stepped on this field. So he's going to be amazing. And yeah, like I said, Roldan, whether he be the wild card, I don't see him making that much of an impact or getting on the field, especially with the players that we have in the midfield, as well as the players that he named as forwards that can also play midfield. I'm all right with the midfield.
Again, I respect Roldan. I think that he's definitely a player that you can count on to, like you said, bees. He every game he goes out and gives you a certain element of technical ability and also effort. My only issue is that you have people like Acosta, you have people like Weston McKennie, you have people like Tyler Adams, who obviously have the same work rate. But Tillman gives me I see him as a player who can maybe win you a game as well, too. Give you something different you could bring on in 20 minutes, last 20 minutes, to if you're down a goal or you need a goal, you know. I see Acosta is when you up a goal and you want to bring on somebody who can, you know, show up your midfield, keep possession, and to break down attacks. But I feel like we lost something. We had an opportunity to bring Tillman in, who plays on the Champions League level, and for leave him out at the age that he is, I think that's just something that I think that I feel bad about. I feel bad for him, and I think that we missed the opportunity there. But I do believe that Weston is, you know, he's not going to have one match game probably in the last 2 weeks before the World Cup starts. Do you start him on the first game of the World Cup against Wales?
If he's fit, yes.
Even though he hasn't played a match in 2 weeks.
If he's fit, you put him on the field.
Gooch.
Depends on the formation, honestly, that they decide to play. I would say the first game of any tournament is important, but looking at the three, England should be the strongest competitor out of the three games. Do we risk bringing him back early for Wales so he's not available for England?
Exactly.
I don't know if we risk that. If it guarantees us that he'll be healthy for England, you know, you can put Musa there, you can put Tyler Adams there, you can put Kellen there, Brandon Aaronson's now there, Luca Del Torre if he's healthy, even if you really want to, Gio or Christian. To be quite honest, if you really, really want to. So I don't know. I'd have to assess it. But if it's worth risking him not being available for England, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I'm going into the Wales
game. Yeah, I'm just saying if he's fit.
Into the Wales game with Aaronson starting over Weston McKennie and saving Weston for the next match, the next two matches. You know, just protecting him, knowing that he hasn't played a full game. I would hate for him to start the game, not feel comfortable, and have to make an early sub.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If he's not comfortable, he has to be – okay, look.
Yeah, but you can be comfortable in practice and not comfortable at 90-minute, you know,
World Cup game. No. If you're comfortable, then we've all done it. We want to play.
At the end of the day, you got to protect the player from himself.
Yeah. What you can do and what you can't. We all play with injuries. We all know that. That's no secret.
Yeah, but B's, Wes is not going to tell Greg he can't play, especially for the World Cup. He's going to tell Greg, I feel awesome, even when he's hurting. He does that now, all the time.
Then you have to.
What was that story he told us he played with a broken toe?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then he said he couldn't play no more, so he went off.
Nah, he played the whole game.
Yeah.
Played the rest of the game with a broken toe.
Oh.
And to be honest, coming off an injury now, he had an injury a few months ago with his foot. Didn't he break his foot some months ago at Juventus? I think right now we got to protect Weston from himself and shore him up, because he is the kind of person that will play broken leg as long as he can hobble. That's just his mentality, right? I don't, not to down Wales whatsoever, but I think England's the game that we, you know, need to worry about within that group stage. We need to worry about all three of them, but all like three.
Yeah, but then you can make the argument, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Who plays in the Premiership? I keep saying Premiership. The Premier League every year, up every year. Every this year, fit. That's playing well. Every game fit. Name one. Name two people that in the midfield that's on our roster for us. No.
That play in the Premiership?
In the Premier League right now.
In the midfield?
Yes.
Good question.
Brandon Aaronson.
And who else?
Tyler Adams.
Exactly. Okay. So y'all saying to save Weston for that game. So if you just listen now, let me finish. So if I'm thinking, if y'all thinking about save Weston for the England match and, you know, play Aaronson and obviously maybe Price sit one of them out, I'm saying why not put Tyler, Aaronson, and Musa for England? Tyler and Aaronson play that week in, week out against England, and they've been shining. They've been playing well, especially Tyler. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, but
why not? And then Moose is not coming off the field.
No, but what we're saying is that we value Weston and we think Weston should start.
Yeah, but y'all saying save him for England. I don't think we need with our midfield. I don't think we would have to save him for England. I think we have enough. And you understand my point?
My point, yeah, I see your point. My point, what I'm saying is not necessarily save him, but if you want to use Weston, what's the point of jeopardizing his entire tournament to get him back in the next 9 days?
So fast, B. What we're trying to say, saving meaning like saving for the last two games rather than him play the first game, feel sore, not feel comfortable, and then he can't play the next two games, right?
I'm just saying, the man's fit, and
bring him off the bench just because he's just coming back. He's just starting to jog and starting to really train again. So I just feel
Okay. You know, insight. So I didn't know he just started. If he's just starting to jog like right today, then yeah, you can't start.
Not right today, but you get my point.
What did you just say? If he's just starting to jog.
Listen, if he's not playing this weekend, I don't feel comfortable him playing the first game for U.S. national team.
They had a game today. He didn't play.
He didn't play. He didn't play today.
You know, so before we go off the midfield, right, and I'm glad you brought it up, right, the rotation aspect of it, right? You don't really rotate as much in the defense, but midfield-wise, who do you rotate? Can Adams come out and play maybe two out of the three games in the group stage? Does Musa play all three? Does Weston play all three? You don't rotate Gooch. I mean, you don't rotate
Beach. I don't rotate Adams. You got to have some consistency in your team. There's one thing. This is the World Cup. There's one thing of saving legs and, you know, making sure you get – no, this is the World Cup.
So you guys didn't rotate in your four World Cups you played in. You guys
not only because of injury. Okay. We maybe did maybe one or two players that, and we changed the formation a little bit in my 02 days, and we can talk about 06 and 10, whatever. But not really, Doug. I mean, you stick with your team. At the end of the day,
first of all, I think that Greg should have known his 11 time ago, but that is what it is. At the end of the day, a coach needs to know his 11, his strong 11. And essentially, a football player needs to start a game thinking he's going to go 90 minutes. Like every time I go on the field, I don't want to come out. I'm not going on thinking I'm going to get subbed off, right? Uh-huh. Every player needs to come on like that. And so if he knows his consistent 11, best 11, strongest 11, let's say that, his strongest 11, and pending injury, why wouldn't you start him every single game? And keep that. Yeah.
I thought going into a World Cup, you need to rotate to save legs, and that's why you have the 26, and you have five subs now as well. So that changes the game.
You can change it up, but I mean from the start, you know, you don't change too much when you have your like Gooch said, your strongest or.
I've never played in a World Cup, but I do know watching the World Cup that teams always rotate.
I'm saying like one or two players, especially if you win two games and you have, say, that third game is maybe you already went through, you get your first place in the group, you already know. So if one player, say like a Weston, he's kind of, you worry about his injury, yeah, you take him out and you put in a Rodon or you put in a Costa to get them, let them play, and then after that you ride with your normal starting 11. But you don't change it that much outside of, you know, injury cards, form if it's a winger, but the core, like the back four, the number six, you know, those the eight, you don't really change though. Your number nine, well, I mean, number nine is different because, you know, we don't have like a Lewandowski, so our number nine most likely gonna get changed. But yeah, you rock with your lineup.
Hey, listen, let's talk about it. The forward line. All right, we have.
You go. You tell us about the forward line, Mookie.
We have Ferreira. We have Jordan Morris. We have Christian Pulisic. We have Gio Reyna, Josh Sargent, Timothy Weah, representing Rosedale, New York. Haji Wright, fellas. Haji Wright, he made it. Haji Wright made it. That is amazing story. Haji Wright made it.
He's the Hercules Gomez of this World Cup.
Wow.
You know. I know, real talk, true story. Am I wrong?
Not really, because Hurt didn't come into camp.
Hurt never, not once Hurt came into camp.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I mean, yes and no, but yeah, Hurt didn't come into camp. He was just banging in goals in Mexico and he made the team.
That's true.
Aguchi Onyewu. Who is your three up top?
Oh man. Is where he's fit and
fine. Yeah, he's playing.
He played. Yeah, he played a wing back, a right wing back.
Yeah, he played right. Yeah, right back. Yep. Yeah, man, I saw that.
They all right off. I'll be completely honest. Right now, Gio's been in real good form for Dortmund. He's been scoring goals, doing well, and I just like the directness of Timothy Weah. Christian, he's Captain America. He's there right now. He's in this kind of like limbo at his club. You know, you're hearing, you know, you hear reports that he's having issues with the coach and the locker room and this and that. And he's playing, he's not playing. I don't know. Like, with respect to everybody else, he might not make the three for me right now.
Woo-hoo, I like that. Yeah.
Original
fanboy. I like that.
Fanboy, chill.
It has nothing
to do with him. I just think, like, right now, in terms of form, like.
Don't get scared now.
You talk about Christian, you talk about scared.
Don't get scared now, Gooks.
Let's not bring back the old memories with Mook and Chris. But I'm saying, like, Gio's been informed.
Remember, Mookie told you about Christian. It came out true. Remember that.
Timothy Weah has been doing well, and he's just direct. He's a different kind of player. Right now, if you don't have Christian, I'd put Gio, Tim, and the nine is man. I think it's Haji or
isn't that crazy though?
Yeah, it's
we don't know. I don't even think Greg does, to be honest.
That's my point. How crazy is that the country doesn't know who the best 11
who their number nine is? Yeah. Oh, I mean, not even that. Just the number nine, man. Yeah.
Like, it's not even, you don't know. We don't even like it. Like the options we have, you know. So, Gooch said to me to start it off. So I'm gonna start it off for me, Pulisic. I'm playing number nine. I'm not playing Jesus Ferreira.
Oh, so you're still starting.
Huh?
You're still starting Christian.
Christian is my number nine, and Gio and Timothy Weah is my wingers. Timothy Weah, to me, is going to be the most dangerous player we have on the field. Not the most important, but the most dangerous.
You think Christian has the ability to be effective?
Because Christian's not going to stay up and hold up the ball, but he's going to hold up the ball, but come back, check the ball, come into the midfield, combine. Midfielders run behind him. That's my point. Yeah.
Listen,
that's what Ferreira does, right?
He's playing a false nine. So the end of my question was, do you think he can be effective against a back line of center backs when he's not playing off the center backs?
I think 1,000%. I think Ferreira plays that type of style. So why wouldn't Christian be able to do that? Right? Come into the midfield, connect, combine, make overlapping runs, have players run in behind him. Just because we don't have that, I think we have to have Christian on the field. I think we all agree, right?
Yeah, but Christian needs a – he's not Jesus. Yeah, they can do that coming back. But Christian needs a ball at his feet. He needs – he needs – yeah, when he gets the ball –
So why wouldn't he be able to get the ball at his feet at a number nine? Because he's played that for Chelsea before.
They are going to – and how'd that go? Exactly. And don't say, oh, different – but this is not – you can't say, oh, it was in the – now it's the World Cup. I don't care what team you're playing against. You're in the World Cup.
I trust Christian in the box scoring more than Ferreira. You know,
I have to get there first.
Huh? What you say, Gooch?
Who? I said you have to get there first.
Yeah, but Christian, if you're that talented, why can't you play anywhere on the field? If he can play right wing back for Chelsea, why can't he play striker for U.S. national team?
Did you see those games?
He played one game good. One game he had a good game.
Christian would tell you, he told us he don't even like playing wing back.
But,
you know what I'm saying?
But he used him there, right? And they continue using him.
Of course.
So, of course.
And as a player, you're going to play in a position your coach tell you to play.
And two coaches played him at that position. So they see something there. But you guys know the talent level. He should be able to play anywhere on the field. And we don't have a number nine. So that's what Christian has to step up and give us that number nine. He has to change his game. He has to give us his quality at a position that we desperately need somebody of quality there.
I hear your point. I mean, you make a good point. I'm not saying you're wrong. It's your opinion. That's cool.
Would you compare that to Mbappe having to play number nine?
Oh, shit. Mbappe, he's the king. He about to be the king of France. God damn. Shit.
Once he win this World Cup.
He about to be the president of France, the owner of PSG. That man can do what he want to.
Now, guys, right? If Aaronson is not playing inside the midfield, does he start over Timothy Weah or does he start over Gio as one of our wings? And I don't love him at the wing. But
I think Greg would start him over Timothy Weah. I think Greg would.
I think he needs to be on the field.
Yeah.
And then I would say take out Timothy at the moment. That would be me. Yeah, I would take out Tim. Aaronson right now has to be on. If it's in the midfield and it, going by what you guys said about Weston not being fit enough, yeah, put him in the midfield. Put him with Musa. Put him with Tyler midfield. Cool. Then you can do your three that you guys say. But if Weston is fit, if he's fit, then Aaronson moves up to the wing and put Christian out wide. And I'm starting Sargent.
Where?
That's me. At the number nine.
If what? Oh, that's your nine?
No. If that's my nine.
That's your nine. Why is that?
Because I think he gives us the best version of that number nine position in that right now. I think when you say and putting Christian at the number nine position, for one, and you know, everything is now that we can talk about the shit because now we're old and we don't play no more. I think it's in his head that he knows he doesn't really like playing there. So it's like, oh shit, you know, I'm number nine. Yeah, of course he's gonna try to do his best and he'll, you know, do his thing.
This is a World Cup. He likes playing for your country.
I'm going as a player. I'm thinking in the mind of a player. You say you always want to get, you know, the inside of what players think and what would you be doing in that situation. That's all I'm saying. He wants to be on the wing. He wants to be on that left wing. Put him out there. I think right now Sargent warrants to that number nine spot, and why not try it against Wales? I don't think it's going to hurt us to put if Weston's fit. Our top three would be Christian, Sargent, and Aaronson.
Christian,
shoot.
Pifo playing in the strongest competition out of all the strikers. Pepe scoring goals in Holland. Do they replace any of the current strikers, in your opinion? If you had the list?
If I had the – I mean, I put Pepe in my list. And I put him on there because of the form. And you know what? I'll be real. You know, we all make mistakes. I kind of contradicted myself in that damn column. Because I said at forward, right now, number nine, we don't have that month pregame or pre-World Cup training stint is that you got to go off form at the number nine position. And Haji is the most informed striker we have right now, hands down.
Ladies and gentlemen, what the hell has Jordan Morris done in the past 12 months?
Who?
Jordan Morris. What has he done in the past 12 months? Is this mic on? My bad. Is this mic on? My bad. Now, real talk. What has he done?
All I know is that they had an MLS camp, training camp for the national team players recently, and they played against our under 20s.
Do you have that list?
And they couldn't.
I mean, you can get it. You can get it.
They couldn't beat our under 20s.
Yeah, but they ain't had no subs.
Couldn't beat.
I'm just bullshitting.
Gentlemen, what has Jordan Morris done?
I said in the beginning, he was a surprise. I thought that we had enough in that attacking group that, you know, Jordan wouldn't have made this list. You know, he's a good player. He's fast. He's quick. But I just think with the talent that we have, I think that they were a bit, in my opinion, this is my opinion, that, you know, he was a surprise for me going to Qatar. I know he's been out on the wing.
Was for that?
What's that?
What do you think Greg's logic to bring him in? Like specifically, because Jordan, a couple years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago, he was like dynamic.
Before the major injury.
He was that spark. He was quick. He was this. Then he did his ACL a couple times, I believe, like once or twice.
Aguchi Onyewu. Aguchi Onyewu. Jordan Morris has scored 7 goals in the MLS. Is that considered something we should look and say this is good?
I don't know. Since Pay Folks scoring goals in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, but you can,
Jordan Morris. Yeah, scored 7 goals as a striker.
Real talk, true story.
But then you can say, okay, but look at Christian's goal, and I don't know. Look at Christian's goal record.
Christian plays in the Premier League.
Oh my goodness. But you just said his goals. Wingback. Come on now. Don't put it like I'm saying Christian shouldn't be on the damn plane. That's not what I'm saying. But you just said he scored 7 goals. Like, that's it. I'm not defending Jordan. I didn't have Jordan on my list. I'm not defending Jordan. But I'm saying your argument.
That's respectable.
I'm just saying your argument was like, oh, he only scored 7 goals. Like, you got to give me some more than that. You gotta give me something more than
that. He had two assists.
Shut up.
Son, are you serious?
You stupid, yo.
I will say that I definitely believed, unless he's thinking about playing Jordan on the wing, definitely not the
guy. Yeah, wing. He's played there on the wing, yeah.
He had 2 assists.
Yo, look at his face, yo, what he said. Look at his face.
Just confused, guys. Help me. Help me. How over people?
Oh, man.
Or over.
But that's not. That's like. That's positions? Apples and oranges because he's a number 9. FIFA can only play a number 9 position. He's not playing on the wing. You can't compare that and that. That's not the same. The strikers were Jesus, Ricardo, Sargent, P-Falk, and Haji Wright. Those were the 5. As a number 9, we're only taking 3 number 9s. That was our. So you got to go on that. Those 5. You got to pick 3 out of them. You can't throw Jordan in that list and say, oh, you're taking him over P4 because it's not the same. That's like saying, oh, you took Long over.
Would you have taken Jazzy Zardes over Jordan Morris? I personally wouldn't have.
I would have taken Areola over Jordan Morris.
I think Jazzy performed more consistently than Jordan over the season. You know what he's going to give you. He's going to run his ass off for 90 minutes or for whatever period he's going to get. Team player, good in the locker room, humble man. And he's more of a number 9 than Jordan could be. And he can play on the wings as well. I think he's a little bit more versatile in that regard.
Yeah, he played him in front of me a couple games towards the end of my national team career. Yeah.
How was that?
With Jazz, yeah, it was cool. He works hard. I told him to stop coming back so much.
Exactly.
I was like, yo, we want you to score goals and get assists. Stop coming back. I don't need that much help. Like, yo, stay your ass up top. Go ahead, dog. You know what I'm saying? We'll work on it back here.
Wouldn't you say he's more versatile than Jordan and can be used more
freely? I would say that. Yeah, I would say that. And that in that role, just in that argument, yeah, I would say he's more versatile than Jordan. Yeah, I mean, Jordan was a surprise for me as well. I didn't. I had Paul Arriola. What's up?
I said Jordan's probably surprised for himself. He's like, what?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, Mook is still he's still
searching.
He's still searching on something. He's trying to say something about Jordan.
I'm trying to see how many goals did Ferreira score this season, but he had quite a many.
I think he had like 18.
Something like that. Gentlemen, so that's the squad. Quick questions, right? I remember when Julian Green got called into the national team and it was looked at as like, you know, he's just somebody who's young. We just want to put him in for the experience. Do we have a player like that in this roster? Theo Walcott, somebody who's just, you know, he's not going to play, but he's the future.
In the current
no.
roster?
Yeah. No, we don't.
It would have been.
And you know why? And you know why?
Don't say it.
No, because all of our young players are going to play. Musa, Gio, and U.S. Soccer just put up that list, the youngest players to play in the national team or for at a World Cup. It was Gio, and Scally. They're all going to play at some point. That's not the future. They are the future right now. And that's when that can get into the argument where people are saying, 2002 just a warm up for 2000. No, they got to perform in this World Cup. In 11 days, they got to perform. Okay. So
do you think they're capable, not just performing, but getting the results needed?
I think so. I think they can get out of this group. Yes.
I think they can get out of this group.
Yes. And I would say it would be disappointing if they didn't. Yes, they are the youngest team. They have 25 players that have never played in the World Cup. But with them as a collective unit, I'm banking on all of that no fear kind of attitude mentality that they don't know what to expect. You know what I'm saying? Hear me out for a second. And they're going into it together. So this is what I'm banking on. And I think that with the talent that they have and it being the World Cup, I think that they have enough to get out of this group. Yes. And I think it would be a disappointment if they didn't. I hold him at a high standard, 100%.
I agree with that notion and that sentiment. I would throw a question back at you because you were a teenager playing in 2002. You and Landon, first World Cup, and that naivety gave you, like, it was your strength, right? But right. It was also contained by the experience around you and allowed you to have that. So now you have a whole lineup of inexperience. Do you think that because of that there could be some kind of chaos because there's nobody to kind of like bring it in and be like, all right guys, we've been here before, you know, let's hold it together.
DeAndre Yedlin.
I don't think he'll be on the field though, but like on the field I think that can be Tyler. I think that he's a guy that can, you know, I know they haven't had good results and I don't really care about friendlies, you know. I worry about November 21st
in terms of experience. Tyler has
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, but you said to have like a veteran to be like kind of hone it in, be like, okay, look, we're going crazy. It's too much, like you said, chaos. We need to hone it back in and get back to. I think Tyler can be that. Oh, that presence.
Tyler of today, he'd be ready to rumble in the premiership. I don't know. Every week I see a meme. Going,
who is this guy? Right. So, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. I get what you're saying. And yeah, there is a lot of I agree with that. You know, that it could go either way. It really could. But I'm banking on their young mentality as far as, you know, how I felt. And I can only look at from my experience of how I was, how Landon was. Yes, I know it'll be 25 of them doing that. But that's what I'm banking on, you know, and that's why I think they can get out of the group.
Fellas, who is the most important player for the U.S. men's national team? This
Tyler World Adams.
Tyler. Gooch.
Tyler.
Tyler Adams.
you know, and second, and close second, maybe honorable mention, going to be Turner, Matt Turner.
I agree. Yep. You have a comment?
No, I don't. I'd love to move on and again give us a little bit of insight of the experience of the World Cup for you guys. We mentioned in the start of the show, Bees, about players that had to find out they weren't going to the World Cup right there in front of their face, getting called into the room, telling them, listen, you didn't make it, you got to go home. Is it somebody who stands out to you that you felt that was unjust, that you felt that you really thought he was going to make it and he did what he needed to do?
Oh, Landon. That's easy. Landon, 2014. I still to this day don't know how that man did not make the World Cup team. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand it. And I still don't. I still don't. I never asked Klinsmann why. I know Klinsmann made comments. He had to answer that question after, literally up until the World Cup. We had to tell Michael Cameron to stop, have the media stop asking that question, and let's get ready for the World Cup, because it was on everyone's mind. But yeah, Landon.
How about you, Gooch?
In history or right now?
No, one of the World Cup teams that you played on, and while you were at camp, somebody got told that they weren't going to go to the World Cup, and you were very surprised. You felt it was injustice for them not to make it.
Damn, I can't even remember. I mean,
in case you forgot, you played what, 2006 and 2010 World Cup?
In case I forgot?
I'm just saying. You said you couldn't remember. So I'm trying to help you out, help your memory.
You have oh shit!
Help my memory.
Hey. You know he's doing that so he can't hear you. You know he's doing that exactly. So he can't hear you.
I'm asking him to help my memory with the players that didn't make it so I can give him an accurate answer. Like, I remember Heath Pearson make one. I know.
All right, let's talk about that. Do you think Heath Pearson, somebody that were you surprised at the defender that he didn't get a chance to make that team?
I think it could have gone either way for Heath, honestly. He was playing, he could play both sides, really, left and right. But at that point, you know, it is what it is. I remember, I think Brian Ching didn't make it 1 year.
No, he went to 06. He didn't play, but he was there.
2010.
Oh, it said 10. Sorry, my bad. Yeah, my bad, my bad.
All right, 2010 roster. We're looking at Jozy Altidore, DeMarcus Beasley, Carlos Boca Negra.
We don't need the roster.
Okay. So you do remember.
We don't need the roster. I'm trying to remember. I've already listed like four players for you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, that's the only one that I got.
Who? Landon.
Landon, yeah, 100%. 100%.
Well, I got another question. We can move on, right? I know in camp when you have a month or a couple of weeks before the World Cup, coaches often do things to try to get the team together, build some chemistry. You guys can tell us a little bit about some weird, odd, or some effective tools that your coaches might have used, like documentaries. Who knows? I'm sure there's things that we can't even imagine that these coaches tried to do to stimulate you guys in camp.
I mean, every coach is different. You know what I'm saying? I know with Bob, we had a lot of speakers. You know, I know Gooch, Guy Richards, so we got to meet Bill Russell.
Rest in peace,
he was big on not motivational, but guys that we can aspire to be like.
Yes.
You know, and it was something that we could relate to. It wasn't just about sports.
Yeah.
It was about how to be with the team, how to be yourself, and how to, you know, how to portray or put all that together into being a team, you know. So it wasn't just about sports when Bill was talking. It was about his life, you know, what he went through, how he overcame different obstacles that was in his life. Obviously, it was a totally different time than but hearing him speak.
Wow.
You know, and I know Gooch, I know you had a really close, encounter with Bill. So, I mean, you can talk more about it than I can, but I remember the you know, the meeting really well.
Yeah, but every coach is a little different. Yeah, Bob did try to get some speakers in there. Actually, Klinsmann tried to do that as well a little bit, and as well as the videos and highlights and stuff like that. But you know, in terms of bringing camaraderie, all the teams that I was a part of, we were close regardless. Like, we didn't really need to build camaraderie. We were all like friends. There were pockets of friend groups, but like collectively, we were all cool with each other. There wasn't like animosity or any kind of division of that nature. And to be completely honest, I feel the same sentiment in this current generation. Like they're all super close. They're all cool. They all speak well with one another. You know, when I was in Belgium, spoke with Mark McKenzie a lot, and he would tell me, you know, they're always in constant communication. Yeah. They're always speaking, these guys.
We didn't speak.
I don't like you.
I didn't talk about me and you. I was just saying.
It wasn't no WhatsApp groups.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. There was no WhatsApp, there was no group chats, you know what I'm saying? Like yo, when we left camp, I was like, all right, peace. You know what I'm saying? I see you on the field. But yeah, Goose said we was close though. No, but what are you saying?
You didn't catch bees on his two-way pager, you didn't catch bees.
That was straight it. Up. Straight up.
On his Nextel, whatever.
Yeah. What was that called? The one, the flip?
The flip, yeah.
Yeah.
Sidekick.
Sidekick, yeah.
Sidekick.
Oh, we lost. Yeah, but since we lost bees, Gooch, you know.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Just, yeah. Your Wi-Fi sucked. Bad boy. Yo, Gooch, you couldn't remember the last question, but I know you're getting the bug. You're about to go over to the World Cup. Share us your fondest memory of a World Cup experience that you had.
My fondest memory?
Yeah.
The two. The first game, the Czech game. That was my first minutes, first moments. Playing in a World Cup, you know, 24 years old. And I actually had this conversation with a journalist the other day, and he asked me the same question. And I said, you know, back then, 2006, football or sports was different. And we've come in a different evolution of sport. I was 24 years old, and I was super young to be a 24-year-old defender. And now it's like the average age is 23 of the team, right? So for me, I felt young. I was amongst Eddie Lewis, Eddie Pope, freaking Casey Keller.
Wow.
Like all these veterans. So for me, that was special. And then 2010 against England was special, not because it was England, but because I came back from that big injury that I had about 7 months prior. So there was a lot of questions whether I'd going to be in the World Cup or not. And to be able to have made it and played and started in that game was a big deal for me.
Wow. Incredible, man. How excited you are to go to this World Cup, this first and maybe the last Winter World Cup. What's your thought process, man? As a fan too, your first as a fan, right?
Like Wi-Fi bees. Yeah. Going as a fan.
Hey, I can hear you now.
Nobody can see you.
I know.
Yeah, no, I'm going to, to be fair, I've never traveled to see the U.S. team play as a fan, right? So this will be a unique experience for me because I've never had it before. It'll be different. It'll be a first. But thankfully, I'll have, you know, people to hang out with, like DeMarcus, Maurice Adu will be there. You know, I'm sure Hercules Gomez is going to be there. So it will be in good company for sure.
And let people know we will have some content coming straight from the World Cup. So that should be exciting. Both of these gentlemen will be touched down on the land. So, you know, we're going to see what these guys are getting themselves into and what trouble they're getting into. And it'd be fascinating and fun, man. So we bring it to you live here at the Crack. Bees, I asked Gooch, as you heard, give me two memories that you have from the World Cup? The all 10 of them that you played in.
Yeah, for, I mean, I'm going one playing, one off the field. So one was my first World Cup, the game, Portugal, 3-2. I don't need to go into that. But yeah, the feeling of starting your game, starting the your first World Cup match as the youngest player on the national team was special. You know what I'm saying? I turned 20 on the plane. I made the roster when I was 19. Couldn't even drink. And I turned 20 while we're traveling to Korea. So, because of the daylight savings times. So I was 19 in the United States. And then as soon as we crossed that international dateline, I was 20, which is, it was crazy. So, you know, obviously when we got to the hotel, they had a cake and, you know, I got pictures with me with the sword cutting the cake, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it was cool, man. Like that was special. And obviously to be there, with my teammates at the World Cup, my first one. So yeah, that was special. Second one is in Brazil. That was the first time my whole family came out. Mm. I'm talking about aunts. I mean, dad came before, but I'm talking about my whole family. Aunts, uncles, cousins, nephew, everybody. Everybody was at that World Cup. And to be able to spend time with them, you know, when you do have a day off to spend with your family, to go and just chill and to see all your family. That, you know what I'm saying? Like to know that they support you and go all that way to Brazil to see you play, to see what you do. That's love, man. You know what I'm saying? People speak about family and family being there for you and good times and bad, but that was a good time where my family was behind me, they supported me, and they followed me all the way to Brazil to see me play. And that happened to be my last World Cup. So, you know, to have, I don't know, we was like, I want to say 14, 15 deep.
Yeah, you know, that World Cup.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? So to have them, my whole family there, so that's my second, you know, best memory at a World Cup. Yo, yeah, just want to say, well, again, congratulations to everybody that made the World Cup squad. Let's get behind our boys. Forget who's on the roster. If you agree or don't disagree, let's support our team, support our country, and let's, you know,
shock the world.
Get everybody behind us and try to get one out of this group, but have a good showing at this World Cup. So on that note, I just want to say I'll see y'all in Qatar. I'll see you guys. We're having a show in Qatar. Myself and Goose will be there. So we will do something in Qatar with the Crack Podcast. So we're looking forward to that. And just want to say, appreciate y'all always listening, supporting us, giving us a platform to speak our minds. And we'll see y'all soon. Like, subscribe. I don't know the other social media content. What you say?
That's Media Bees, baby.
Like, subscribe, and what else?
No, don't try. Yo, Gooch, he tried to mess it up on purpose because he's really like, oh, I'm too much on point. let me dumb it down.
Media Bees. I love Media Bees.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.